Eichel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is the fifth tape in the series entitled The Body and Soul of Torah, recorded live at Eichel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York.
Good morning. We are in the middle of the first chapter of the Tanya. Daf Hei Amud Beis, that's 5b, or page 10, in the printed Tanyas. We are on the fifth line of the top. The line begins with the word V'hada Amrinan Ba'alma. That's what we're holding now. In the previous class, the Alter Rebbe, the author of the Tanya Reb Shneur Zalman, has begun defining the terms in Gemara, Tzaddik, Beinoni, and Rasha. The Tzaddik, the righteous man, the Beinoni, the intermediate man, and the Rasha, the wicked man. Each one containing an offshoot of another level, the Tzaddik, where there's a Tzaddik Gomer, a Tzaddik She'ena Gomer, the complete Tzaddik and the non-complete Tzaddik. The Rasha is the Rasha Gomer and the Rasha She'ena Gomer, the complete Rasha, the non-complete Rasha. And then the fifth rank or level of the human experience is the Beinoni, the intermediate man. At first glance, the Alter Rebbe says, the Beinoni is the intermediate man, where both his mitzvahs and his transgressions, his mitzvahs and his averus are equally balanced. But this raises several serious questions. Question number one is a statement that Rabbah makes in Masechta Brachas, K'goyin ana beinoni. If you want to know the definition of a beinoni, look at me. I am the prototype who embodies the ideal of the beinoni. It seems that a beinoni is an ambiguous term after all. The Tzaddik and the Rasha are more absolute term, so Rabbi had to give a living example of it, so he gave himself. So a student, Abaye, says, if you're a Beinoni, you're not allowing anyone else to live. If you're a Beinoni, that means there's no Tzaddik on the world. Because Rabbi was from the greatest leaders and scholars and holy men of his time. The time of the Gemara, he was an Amira, he lived in Bavel, he was Rosh Hashiva of Pompidissa. So the question is, if a Beinoni is actually the person who is equally balanced between his positive deeds and his negative deeds, how can Rabbah err to the extent to define himself as a Beinoni? Rabbah, who is someone who did not cease learning for a moment, the Talmud, the Gemara says that even the Malach HaMavis, the angel of death, could not make contact with him to remove his soul from his body when his time came, because he did not stop learning for a moment. So this very same rabbi says, I am a person who is 50% mitzvahs and 50% full of averus. It seems ridiculous to make such a mistake you make in something that's similar. But you don't make a mistake, two total extremes. That's one issue. Second issue the Alter Rebbe raised was more a halachic issue, and that is, when we delve in to the sea of the Gemara, it's difficult to understand at what moment exactly can you define a person as the Beinoni. In Talmudic literature, the moment a person does an Aveira, they transgress the will of Hashem, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they are deemed a Rasha. The moment they do Tshuva, they are deemed a Tzaddik. This has literally halachic implications. We discussed it at length last week regarding Kiddushin, regarding testifying in Beis Din, someone who was even over on one lav, a lav which imposes on him a penalty of malchus, is possible for edus, is possible for testimony. That's even one avera, despite this person can have 99% mitzvahs, as long as they do not do tshuva, they are deemed a rasha. So when exactly is the person called a beinoni? 50-50, but when? The moment you do an avera, you're called a rasha, because you transgress the divine will. The moment you do tshuva for that aveda, you're back at tzaddik. So when can you be a beinoni? And he goes on to explain that you cannot say, for example, a beinoni is someone who is meticulous in the observance of all the biblical mitzvahs, but not the rabbinic mitzvahs. Because we see that even someone who transgresses a mitzvah of the v'seferim, of the rabbis, is also called a rasha. Further, even someone who just has the ability to protest others who are involved in negative transgressions, has the ability to prevent them from engaging in it, and does not, is also deemed a Rasha. Certainly someone who does not do a positive commandment. All these people are called Rishayim. So when exactly can the person be deemed a Beinoni? This forces the Alter Rebbe to redefine the term Meikara. Beinoni is someone who does not possess even one Avera. Not a biblical Avera, not a mitzvah's essay, not a mitzvah's leisasa, not a mitzvah from the Rabbanon, not even ever put in a position where he had an ability to prevent others from doing an Avera and did not do so. The Alter Rebbe goes even further, even the Avera of Bittul Torah, which means someone who has the potential to study Torah for a moment and does not, which is very difficult mitzvah to observe, utilizing every single moment of our day, of our life, every free moment to study the Torah. But if a Beinoni is not a person who mastered that ability, he's not a Beinoni, he's a Rasha. So what's the definition of a Beinoni in light of this? L'cha'eirim amish a tzaddik. Someone who does not have one Aveira, not in thought, not in speech, not in deed, not midivri Torah, not midivri Sefer, not even mishiyash b'yadi limchaz v'lei micha. Now we understand how Rabba could define himself as a Beinoni. After all, a Beinoni is not such an evil man. A Beinoni is ganz a feine yid. Rabba still made a mistake. Abaye still was not pleased with the statement. But we understand where the man is coming from. He calls himself a Beinoni. Not bad. They tell the story about the Tzemach Tzedek, the grandson of the Balatanya, Reb Nachum Mendel Schneerson, one of his great students and pupils. His name was Reb Hillel. He was from a city in Russia called Parich. So they call him Reb Hillel Parich. So he, before he came to the Rebbe of the Tzemach Tzedek, he came already earlier to the Mittler Rebbe, to the Alter Rebbe's son. He was a great Talmudic sage and scholar, as well as a Kabbalist. He was very involved in the disciplines of Jewish mysticism and spirituality, and considered himself righteously a tzaddik. According to all the definitions that he was aware about a tzaddik, he considered himself a true tzaddik. When he came to Chabad and he learned Tanya, so he learned the first chapter, he sighed and he said, Halavaya Beinoni. A tzaddik was one, Halavaya Beinoni. So this is where the Alter Rebbe stands at the moment. Now we'll continue inside. As mentioned the previous weeks, if anyone has any questions or misunderstandings, please don't hesitate to voice your thoughts and feelings. Okay, as mentioned, the fifth line from the top of Ahadam Rinnan Baalm. This raises, however, a major question. Ahadam Rinnan Baalm. This, which is commonly known in Torah literature, the Mechtzal Mechtzal Mikri Beinoni V'Rov Zachi is Mikri Tzadik. It is a well-known saying that who is a Beinoni? Someone who is equally balanced between his mitzvahs and his averus. And a Rav Zachias, someone who possesses a majority of Zachias, of merits, and a minority of sins, that's a tzaddik. Who's the Damrinam Ba'alma? What is commonly being said, he doesn't mean what is said on street corners, that a tzaddik is defined this way. He means in the Torah literature. If anyone opens up on Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tezayin, the Gemara describes over there what happens on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, how three books are opened up, Sefer Shel Chayim, and Rechman Olitzan, Sefer Shel Misa, and there are three characters that are judged. The Tzaddik, the Beinoni, and the Rasha. So the Tzaddikim are immediately inscribed and sealed for a year of life, the Rishayim for a year, and opposite, Chas V'Shalom, and the Beinoni stands hanging until Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, his fate for the coming year is established. What is the definition of a tzaddik, Beinoni, and a Rasha? So both Rashi and Tosfos say clearly, a tzaddik is someone with a majority of merits and a minority of sins. Beinoni is in the middle, and a Rasha is the other way around. Same is true in Rambam, Hilchos Teshuva, Perek Gimel. A whole Perek he devotes to the concept of a tzaddik, a Beinoni, and a Rasha, and defines it the same way. He even goes further and makes a collective definition. He says a city where the majority of the people of the city have positive traits is called a city of tzaddikim. A city which is equally balanced is a city of ir beinonis, and a city which has the majority of sins is an ir of rishayim. By the way, parenthetically, when we speak about even this definition of a tzaddik, a beinoni, and a rasha, does not mean literally 50% and 50%. For example, I'll call you a beinoni because throughout your life you did 300,000 mitzvahs and 300,000 averis. So every day, for example, you do 10 mitzvahs and 10 averis. You do tefillin, you make brachas, you say shema, you put on tzitzis, and then you talk lashon hara, you do another 5 mitzvahs to oppose. That's not a beinoni. And therefore, the Rambam explains clearly that's totally not the description of a beinoni and not a tzaddik. There's only one entity, one being who can judge who's a tzaddik and who's a beinoni. That's the Ribbono Shel Olam. It does not go in numbers. It does not go in a quantitative measure of one mitzvah versus one avera, two mitzvahs versus two averas. It is very much dependent on quality, on the situation of the human being, on the circumstances which he finds himself, on his affiliation, on his background, on his parents, on his level of education, what type of mitzvah it is, what type of avera it is. Not all averas are, sometimes one avera can overwhelm 10 mitzvahs. So the only one who can judge who is 50-50, who has a majority of mitzvahs and a minority of averis, is the Ribbono Shel Olam, who takes account of every individual's behavior and conduct. That's just parenthetically, when we say 50-50, it's not to be understood in numbers, in quantitative numbers, rather in qualitative terms. But the question over here is a very fundamental one. Torah keeps on insisting that this is the term of a tzaddik, a beinoni, and a rasha. So in the 18th century, Reb Shneur Zalman of Liadi writes a Tanya, and he redefines the terms of tzaddik, beinoni, and rasha. That's in clear contradiction, the Alter Rebbe asks on himself, to what is commonly known as the definition of these people. So he answers, no, no contradiction at all. Because hu shem hamushal inyan schar v'einish. Those definitions of the tzaddik, beinoni, and rasha are borrowed names concerning the concept of reward and retribution, scharin einish. Lefi shenidei nacharubay, a person is judged according to the majority of his deeds. Umikri tzaddik bedina, he is termed tzaddik, a righteous, in his verdict, may achat shezeiche bedin, because he is acquitted in the trial. In Hebrew grammar, there are three terms, shema etzim, shema tayar, and shema mushal. A shema etzim is a noun. You'll talk about a table, a chair, a shulchan, a kisei, a adam. That's a shema etzim, an essential name. A shema tayir is an adjective. You'll say, the table is large, the table is small, the table is white, the table is black. The term of big and small, short and tall, these are not essential names. These are names that are used to describe a noun, another aspect. Then you'll have, for example, a chacham or a tipesh. Wise or dumb is not a term for itself. You say, this person is wise, this person is not wise. Then you have a shem hamushal, a third, which is a borrowed name. You'll talk in Hebrew about the reish ha-shulchan, the head of a table. A table doesn't have a head. A human being, an animal, has a head. However, since the head in the human being is the beginning of the structure of his body, we borrow the term head and we apply it to a table. So we'll say the reish ha-shulchan, etc. And many examples for this, a shem hamushal. So it's just a figurative term because we want to apply a certain message that is applicable in this case as well. The same is true over here. It's a shem hamushal, is a borrowed term from the true definition of a tzaddik and beinoni and a rasha. Why would we borrow it? Because in the field of punishment and reward, over there a person is judged according to the minority and the majority of his deeds. That's how the Beis Din Shalmaila, the heavenly courts, judges a human being. Since he is judged, and therefore, if one has a majority of positive traits, they are acquitted in the verdict of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, or in the general verdict of Hashem throughout their life or after their life. So therefore, this person is termed a tzaddik. He's termed righteous because in this case, he is deemed righteous, he is acquitted in the trial, in the court, and he goes out a zakai. He goes out perfectly fine. So you borrow the term tzaddik to say he's righteous. It is not the true definition of a righteous person. Rather, in this case, regarding the trial, regarding how this person will be judged, what will be the fate of this person, he's called a tzaddik. If someone comes to the rabbi, you have a din Torah with your fellow man, and the rabbi says that you win and you lose. One tanya is about the other guy that he stole from him $1,000, and the rabbi makes a verdict. He says, this person is zaka, he's innocent. So what does the rabbi mean? He's innocent in every single aspect of his life. Regarding this issue, this accusation that he stole $1,000, he's innocent. So the same is true here. It's a shem hamushal, it's a borrowed name. Ava le'inyin. Amitas Shem HaTayer VaHamayla Shal Mayla Shal Madregas Chalukas Sadikam Abeinanim. But when we are to consider the true definition and meaning and rank of the different ranks and gradations of a Tzadikim and Beinanim, Amru Razal on this, the Razal say in Masechta Brachos, of Samach Aleph Amud Beis mentioned in the beginning of Tanya already, Tzadikim Yetzer Tov Shaifta. The Tzadikim are judged solely by their Yetzer Tov, by their good inclination, meaning judged that the soul, opinion, and role in their life and in their psyche is played by the Yetzer Tov only. Shenemar, the Gemara brings a pasuk of Tehillim, David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Kuftes, V'libi Chalul Bekirbi, my heart is a void within me. What does it mean? My heart is empty. Chalul means empty within me. She'ein le'yetzer hara. He does not have a yetzer hara. He does not have an evil inclination. So his heart is devoid of a yetzer hara. Ki hargei b'taynis. It says that David HaMelech executed, so to speak, his yetzer hara through fasts, through taynis. Source of this is in Yerushalmi. In Saitan and Brachas, the Yerushalmi says that David HaMelech did not have a yetzer hara. Carbon Eid in Yerushalmi explains that it was because Hargei B'tainis, he killed him through a tainis. Parenthetically, Chalal, the word Chalal has two interpretations in the commentators on Tehillim Kuftes. Some of Farshim define Chalal as a victim. Someone who is killed is called a Chalal. By Yagla Rufa, we find Ki Yimatzi Chalal Ba'achat Sha'arecha. So V'libi Chalal B'kibi means my heart has a dead victim within it because he killed his Yetzahara. Another interpretation of Chalal is it's void. My heart is void. Chalal also means hollow, empty. Hollow. So my heart is hollow within me, and Alter Rebbe seemingly over here uses that explanation because he defines she'ein le'yetzahara. Why ein le'yetzahara? So he explains ki hargei b'taynis. So that is the true definition of a tzaddik, yetzer tov sheiftan, that there's literally no yetzahara within him. No, but the Gemara says, Tzadikim Yetzer Tayyip Shaiftan, Shenemar V'libi Chalal B'kirbi. The Gemara brings the Pasuk on David. It's true, David HaMelech was a chassid. But this is also the level of a tzaddik. Aval kol mi shelo yigi l'madregezu. But someone who did not reach, who did not attain this level, Av shezach yesef merubim alav v'nesef, albeit his merits overwhelm and surpass his sins, Ein mei b'maylus u'madregez tzaddik klal. He does not enter the realm of the tzaddik. And he emphasizes the word klal. What is the klal? The truth is, he's not even a beinoni. In light of above, this person is not even a beinoni. A beinoni is not someone who possesses a majority of positive traits and a minority of sins. A beinoni is someone who lacks any aveira, who has only zachis and no aveinus. But certainly he's not a tzaddik. Not a tzaddik gomer, not a tzaddik sheini gomer, not even a beinoni. That is the reason why Razal saying the Medrash, Hashem observed that tzaddikim are very few. So he rose and he planted them in every single generation. Etc. The Gemara brings over there a pasuk, and then the Gemara continues and says that the world can exist even with the merit of one tzaddik, and the Gemara brings the pasuk, and Meshachasav, it's tzaddik yisaydaylam, the tzaddik is the foundation of the earth. At the surface, we seem perplexed when we read this Gemara. Hashem saw that tzaddikim are so few, so he had to rise and plant them in every generation. Even if you walk the streets of Borough Park, I'm sure you could find plenty of Jews who have roiv zachis and miyat aveinus. It's not so difficult to find a person with the majority of their life is filled with zachias, and there's a minority of aveinus. On the contrary, I don't know, average or not average, but it's totally not uncommon. A beinoni, someone who's mechza zachias and mechza aveinus, is lav dafka the majority of people. So Hashem saw that tzaddikim are so few, he had to plant them in every generation. If not, there would be generations without tzaddikim. So this forces us to redefine the term of a tzaddik. A tzaddik is not only someone who has the majority of mitzvahs and a minority of averus. A tzaddik is totally of another stature, totally of another level, of another gradation, and therefore Hashem saw there are so few. So we had to plant them in every generation. So over here immediately, we are forced to re-examine the definitions of a tzaddik, a beni, and a rasha according to their true Shem HaTayer V'Amayla. What is the true definition? So a Beinoni, he said in its true definition, is someone who doesn't have no averis and full with mitzvahs. A tzaddik in its true definition is what? That's already a Beinoni. So a tzaddik, he goes a step further, that Yibichlal doesn't have a yetzer hara. Not only did he never do an avera and has only mitzvahs, but Yibichlal never has a yetzer hara. And a rasha is what? Even he did one avera and he's already deemed a rasha. By the way, someone asked me last week, when we talk about a Beinoni not having any averis, it doesn't mean that someone who ever did an averi can't be a Beinoni. He can do tshuva and become a Beinoni. It just means that after he does tshuva, so at that moment he doesn't have any averis, he only has mitzvahs, he's called a Beinoni.
Yeah. Very good. This is a good question. Now we come to the next step. You're asking that in the Gemara, which the Alter Rebbe quoted previously to demonstrate that a Beinoni is an individual who doesn't even have one sin, because the moment a Jew does sin, because the moment a Jew sins, he's called a Rasha, the moment he does Tshuva, he's called a Tzaddik. In that Gemara, a Beinoni is absolutely not mentioned. The Gemara doesn't mention a Beinoni. He says you do an Averi, you're a Rasha, you do Tshuva, you're a Tzaddik. And furthermore, what does the Gemara say there? That when you do Tshuva, you're a Tzaddik, even if you have a Yitzhar. So that Gemara also doesn't suit the definitions that Alter Rebbe is granting to the terms Tzaddik and Beinoni here in Tanya. According to that Gemara, it would seem if you do Tshuva, even if you have a Yetzirah, you're a Tzaddik. If you don't do Tshuva, you take a Rasha. Where does the Beinoni come in? This is a very good question. And we'll soon see how the answer to this question the Alter Rebbe actually conveys to us through one word, which he uses in this perek, as I shall soon explain. The point being that here we must understand an important difference that characterizes halacha, that distinguishes halacha from agada. Halacha, the legal part of Torah, from agada, from the more homiletical spiritual aspect of Torah. Halacha deals primarily with the activities, with the deeds of the human being, with the external dynamics of the Jew's life, with what he says and what he does, what is recognizable to the perceiver's eye. Halacha usually does not deal with the motives, with the essential character, with the innate disposition and personality of the human being. Halacha is primarily concerned with how man behaves on a functional level. Not with his motives, not with his cravings, lusts, impulses. That is not the element that halacha addresses. Halacha addresses man on a behavioral level. There's a very famous Neida B'Yehuda, I'm sure you're familiar in Shal Satshuva's Neida B'Yehuda, Arechayim Simen Vav, where the Neida B'Yehuda says, essentially, that Beis Din, the Jewish courts, do not deal with what is going on in the essence of the human condition. Because every single person, every Jew who transgresses or violates the divine will, and then Beis Din has to give him a penalty, and sometimes the penalty is very severe, a death penalty. For example, for murder or idolatry or adultery, where the penalty is death. Now, if the Jew does tshuva, if he does tshuva, Hashem forgives him for his sin. If he forgives him for his sin, the penalty is off. Can the Beis Din rely on the Jew coming and saying, I did tshuva? So the Neida B'Yehuda says, no. Beis Din judges the human being according to what he does. They cannot judge what is going on in a person's inner heart and inner soul. Hashem can judge that. The creator of the universe can judge that. The court cannot judge that. Halacha, what halacha is, what halacha tends to be, what halacha aspires to be, is a system that deals with the behavioral element of the Jew, of the human being. Therefore, in halacha, there is no such a thing as a Beinoni. In halacha, the true definitions of personalities exclude a profile called a Beinoni. Either you're a tzaddik or you're a rasha. If you have not violated the divine will, you're a tzaddik, you're a righteous person. If you have violated the divine will, you rebelled against the creator of the universe, against Hashem, you are a Rasha. Halacha defines truth from the external behavior of a human being. The person is defined via what he does, how he behaves. Therefore, if he did an Aveda, he's a Rasha. If he did Tshuva, he's a Tzaddik. Ah, you'll say this person has an evil inclination and therefore he should be called a Beinoni. In Halacha, we look how he behaves. In his deeds, in his behavior, in his activities, in his words, does he obey the divine will? Is his behavior on a day-to-day basis consistent with the divine blueprint for life? With the guide of Torah and Shulchan Aruch? Absolutely yes. Aye, he has impulses, he has cravings, which gravitate towards sin. That does not remove from him the term of a tzaddik in the world of Halacha. Halacha is not concerned with that element. Halacha is not concerned with what's going on in your soul. Halacha deals with the body, with the behavior, with the externality of life. And on that level, the person lives a life which is absolutely, unequivocally consistent with Hashem's will. One second. That's the reason why previously the Alter Rebbe, on the bottom of Amud Aleph, the Alter Rebbe says, "B'sha sha'isa avaynais nikre rasha gamur v'im achik achasat tshuva nikre tzadik gamur." So you asked last week, what's the gamur? Nikre rasha v'im achik achasat tshuva nikre tzadik. Why did the Alter Rebbe use the words gamur, complete rasha, complete tzadik? Because this is what he's trying to say. In Halacha, there's no room for compromise. There's no room for giving a person the term Beinoni. He's an intermediate man. Why? One of the two. If he has violated the divine will, so he has rebelled against Melech Malchei Hamalchim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That means this human being lived a life which is antithetical to what Hashem wants from him. He rebelled against the Torah. So even if that rebelliousness expressed itself in one issue, he is defined as a Rasha. So that's what Alter Rebbe is saying. B'shar Sha'isa Avein is Nikra Rasha Gamur. In Halacha, when a Jew doesn't Avein, he's a complete Rasha. He's really not a Rasha, he's really a Bein. He's a Rasha. His life and Hashem's blueprint are in contrast with each other. If he does Tshuva, he's a Tzaddik. From the halachic world, that's how it is. You rebelled against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're a Rasha. You have not rebelled against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you did Tshuva. So you're a Tzaddik. So where's the gray area? And that's why, in that area of halacha, there's no term Beinoni. The Gemara doesn't talk about someone who's not a Tzaddik. He's also not a Rasha, he's a Beinoni. Regarding Schar and Einesh, where the terms are borrowed, we have a Tzaddik, we have a Beinoni, we have a Rasha. Regarding the halachic definition of what a human being is, not describing his verdict, not describing the reward or punishment that's administered to him, describing who he is, who the human being is, the Shema Tayar. Here we have a tzaddik and we have a rasha. But then there is another element of Torah, the element of agada. And agada, or pnimis haTorah, the more deeper, the spiritual, esoteric dimensions of Torah, deal not just with the behavioral element of man's life, with man's conduct. They also deal with man's soul, with man's motives, ambitions, impulses, cravings, desires, lusts, and so on and so forth. In a Pnimiyus HaTorah, in Agada, a person is not defined solely by what he does. We discuss who he or she is. Not only what this human being does, what their activities are, what their behavior is, we also discuss who they are, what is going on in the essence of their consciousness, what is the core of their personality. We don't only discuss the chitzonius, the external expressions, we also discuss the more deeper dimensions that are concealed from the perceiver's eye. Here, a new term is used, the term of a Beinoni. What's the term of a Beinoni? A person doesn't sin. He does not sin. But nevertheless, he's not a tzaddik. Why? Because he has an impulse to sin. He has a yetzahara. And since he has a yetzahara, so there is an element in him which is still antithetical to divinity. There is a dimension in his consciousness which is in contrast to godliness, to spirituality, to holiness, because he has a yetzahara. There is evil within him, although that evil never comes to fruition in his words or in his deeds or in his behavior. So it depends from which perspective you're talking. It depends from which perspective you're addressing the issue. If you're addressing the issue from a halachic perspective, the true, it's not fake, the true definition of a tzaddik and a rasha is someone who sins and someone who does tshuva. And there's no room for a beinoni. There's no room. That is the true definition. However, when you're discussing the spiritual, internal dimension of Torah, the true definition of a tzaddik is not someone who doesn't sin. It's someone who doesn't want to sin. Someone who abhors sin. Someone who is repulsed by sin. Someone who doesn't even possess an inclination, a desire, doesn't gravitate to sin. That is the definition of a tzaddik. However, someone who does have a yetzer hara, although he never sins, so according to halacha, of course he's a tzaddik. His whole life is consistent with Hashem's will. In the deeper elements of Torah, in the spiritual elements, I should say, the soul elements, which analyze and deal with the spiritual and deeper elements in man's personality, here we can discuss a new aspect, a new issue, where the human being in his life does not rebel against the divine will. But on the other hand, we discuss and we say that there is a part in him which from that dimension, from that perspective, he is rebelling against Hashem. Because he has a yetzahara. So there's a part in him which is which stands in contrast and in opposition to the divine will, and because of that he's not a tzaddik, and that is what a beinoni is. Someone who has a yetzahara. In summation, there are three areas, different areas, in which we use these terms. Tzaddikim, beinonim, and rishayim. We use these terms in three different ways. A, as a shem hamushal, as borrowed terms concerning issues of reward and punishment. In this case, we're not describing the human being. We are not defining who these people are. We are discussing one issue. Namely, what is their fate regarding reward and punishment? Are they acquitted in the trial or are they found guilty? That is what we are discussing. In this case, we call it a shem hamushal. We are not defining the nature of their life, who they really are. We are regarding the verdict. We call this person righteous, wicked, or intermediate. That's one issue. Next, stage two is where we use the terms tzaddik and rasha, not as shem hamushals, as shem hatayars, describing the actual human being from a halachic perspective. From a halachic perspective, a tzaddik is not someone whose majority of positive deeds outweigh his minority of sinful deeds. A tzaddik is someone who has not sinned, who doesn't have even one sin. A rasha is someone who violated the divine will even in one specific issue. And that's what Alter Rebbe says, even ha'aver al mitzvahs asi is mikra rasha. Even if it's a divrei seferim, it's also mikra rasha. From a halachic perspective, these are the accurate, true definitions of a tzaddik and a rasha. We find in Rosh Hashanah, a tzaddik is Reiv Zachias Amir Tavainis. So the Alter Rebbe explained, let's not confuse, that's a shame amushal. You're not dealing with the person, you're dealing with reward and punishment. And regarding this issue, he's defined as a tzaddik. But now the question is, what's a beinoni according to the true definition? When Rabbi says, Kegoyin an a beinoni, in the part of Haggadah of Torah, what is a beinoni?
if a tzaddik doesn't have any aveiros, a rasha has even a rasha, someone who even has one aveiros, so where's a beinin? So now there is a third place in which we use these terms, tzaddik, beinini, and rasha, and that is describing the inner dynamic of man's character, personality, and consciousness. When we are describing and defining what is taking place not only in man's behavioral life, but also in man's essential life. The tzaddik, in this case, is the Jew who doesn't even have a yetzer hara, who the totality of his condition is permeated with the godly perspective. A beinoni is someone who his external life is pervaded with the godly perspective, but nevertheless his internal life is still dichotomized between a godly inclination and a negative inclination, a yetzer hara.